Hi, I'm Tina Spangler with TLC Barrels, and welcome to my podcast. Today is April 2nd of 2024. This is Q&A number 190. I hope everybody had a wonderful Easter weekend. I took a little time off, so that was nice, but now I'm playing catch up. So anyways, that's the way life goes. But I hope everybody really enjoys Easter and remembers the message of the resurrection and all of that. Somehow I always get sentimental at holidays. It can be Christmas, Easter, birthdays, you know, any holiday. I tend to get a little sentimental and kind of look back and look where I'm at and look forward and really just try to count my blessings. So I hope everybody else does that too. We are going to talk about April's challenges today for the skill and the mindset. We're also going to talk about the chapters of life and following your purpose and passion for a topic today. And that can be the chapters of life in your competition. It can be in your personal growth and all of that. So I honestly don't feel like you can have a true winning mindset without having those kind of thoughts. You know, everything from, you know, your positive and believing in you and your horse, all of those things, visualizing. Our horses often know how we feel more quicker sometimes than we know ourselves. So if you're nervous or feeling negative or any of that, your horse completely senses it. They can also sense when you're calm and focused and you see a positive outcome of your ride or your run. And, you know, horses are more in tune to us without body language than we are to them. And we really need to make sure that when we're with our horses, we're calm and focused and mindful of them and how we're feeling and how they're feeling. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. So I just want to remind everybody, I will be doing the drawing today for the personal best. I was waiting for everyone to get, since it was Easter weekend and was still March, I wanted to allow everyone to get their training videos in from the weekend if they had them, and also the personal best drawing. So I will be doing that as soon as I finish this Q&A with the winners of the personal best for March and also the personal best for the squares, or not personal best, but training challenge for the squares. I'll be drawing a name for both of those. We had, I believe, let me double check. We had, I believe it was six people took part in the square challenge and 20 personal bests for March. I would love to see us double that this month in April. The weather's nice, especially for our northern, northeast clients or Midwest people that are up in maybe the snowier, colder states. You'll be getting more active now. Montana, Colorado, New York, Massachusetts, all those areas, y'all be picking up. Even North Carolina, Tennessee, all of you will start probably riding more now that the weather is getting nicer. So I'll be looking forward to seeing more personal bests as well as take part in the challenges if you want. So the challenges for April are, for skill, you have your option of two. And it depends on which one is more necessary for your needs. One is doing one-handed loose rein riding to really get your horse focused on working off your eyes and your body better, and light hands. So you can do it in straight lines with transitions, like using the whole arena or pasture, but you can also do it in circles, like a big circle and small circle. So I'll post some of those videos in the group as examples. The other one is my warm-up drill, up downs. Now this one's pretty advanced and it can be hard for some people that are starting out to understand. So like if you're on a two-year-old, this is not going to be something your two-year-old's going to understand. But if you're on a barrel horse that's competing currently, or even one that you're loping the barrels on, they really should understand this drill. So you walk a circle about the size that you would go around a barrel. So it'll be about 5 to 10 foot circle, most likely 10 foot, somewhere between the 5 and 10 foot overall diameter. And for a quarter turn, you kind of sit up and let your hand go forward And when I say sit up, not necessarily shoulders forward or butt out of the saddle, but just straightening your back and putting your hand more in the go position. At that point, you'll feel your horse reach with their shoulders. And then the next quarter turn, you sit on your pockets, you know, letting your butt tuck under a little, sit on your pockets a little bit more, and your hand will come back as you sit deeper. And your horse should then shorten their stride and use their hip. And then you go back up, back down, up, down, up, down. That's where the name came from. Every quarter turn alternating. Some horses that are more forward, you'll sit longer. Some horses are more lazy, you'll stay up longer. And you might have to use your legs for more impulsion, or you might have to use a little hand and leg to keep them in the circle. But what you're wanting to feel is like when you're up, it's like feeling them get in the hole or get by a barrel. And then when you're down, it's like asking them to turn that barrel. And you'll do it both directions at a walk and a trot. You know, I would do several at a walk and several at a sit jog to the right or the left first and then go the other way. So both of those are the challenges. They both serve great purposes. Both are to get your horse working off your body more and less off your hands, and getting them really in tune to you looking and riding at your quarter turns or where you're going, and your horse working off your body more, and your hands and legs or voice just back it up. But your main focus, your largest cue, is eyes and body for both the one-handed riding and also the up-downs. So that's why I picked that. And they both can be done without barrels or poles. So they're great dry work exercises, so that not everything you do is with a barrel pole. You can do the up-downs with a barrel. You could do the big and small circles one-handed with a barrel or a pole if you choose as well. I will leave that to you, what you feel your individual horse needs. Again, I don't like to make 100 people ride the same, because every horse and rider are different. So you can modify my dry work or my drills or whatever based on the horse's individual need. Just like when we go to the pattern, the push horse, we're going to ride up in the hole straight or longer. The free runner, we're going to sit and rate earlier. The stiff horse, we're going to try to get more bend. The rubber necker, we're going to try to keep them a little bit stiffer in the turns, not over bending the neck or swinging the butt. So every horse is going to require a little bit different cue, so that we get that go cue, that rate cue, and then that shape cue with all four-wheel drive balance of extending, collecting, and bending a little bit where it's needed, but not overdone. So to have that most efficient four-wheel drive of reaching with shoulder, pushing with hip, and good position and form. So keep that in mind. I have done 7 chapters of my audiobook of 12. And I'm doing one a week. Usually on Friday is my slowest day. So I hope you're taking a part of listening to those audiobooks. They're just like my training notebook that you can purchase on Amazon, or that you got it as a PDF when you signed up for the group. But if you don't have time to sit down or read, or you want to remember a refresher on one chapter specifically, the last chapter was common problems and TLC solutions. And that's like problems you'd have on the barrel, like no rate or shoulder in a barrel or ducking pattern, and some solutions for that. So each chapter is done individually, and they're all about 30, 40 minutes long. So you can listen to it while you do your chores or while you're driving somewhere, whatever. If you're too busy to sit down and read a book, you can now listen to it via audio. And I did that just for you guys, because I want to make sure you get all of my program, not just bits and pieces of it. So that's important to me. So let's see what else. I have about 30 videos on my list, and I'm halfway through. So today, I think I'll probably be able to get another 7 to 10 done now before my group lessons this evening. And then what I don't finish today, I will finish on Wednesday, and I shall be caught up from weekend videos, except for whatever trickle in now. So, and I also would like, if you're in my group a long time and you like sharing about my group, I always appreciate that. Any kind of shout out on Facebook, I appreciate. Try not to share my video critiques or my drills or any of that. I'd rather people purchased a membership to get that information, because the price is fair enough. It's $20 a month, $200 a year. And it's a good deal for people. They get a lot with that bang for their buck. You know, you get your 7 free bonuses sent to you via email. You get your Coach Now space. They get to be part of the Facebook group, and then you get your two video critiques a week for training or competition as well. So that's the new deal for the $20 a month or $200 a year. And the $200 a year saves you $40. So a lot of members have been with me for the full 3 years, and they have the special rates of as founding members. They get one video a week, or some of them just like to be a part of it and stay up on the different training videos and all that. The training videos, there's like 300 now in the members only group, so don't forget about that as well. But I would love it if anybody refers somebody. I always appreciate that. And I'm going to get into the questions now. The first question is how to not overcomplicate competition by listening to everybody after your run. You know, everybody offers advice of what they saw, and everybody has a different opinion. So that can be tough. You know, when you start listening to too many people, it really messes with your head, and you're not sure what's working, what's not working, and you really lose a lot of your confidence. So what I say is keep it simple. The KISS theory, keep it simple, silly. Know your horse. Keep your journal, the barrel racing log. Watch your videos, see your photos, and journal what's working, and try not to change more than one thing at a time. When I do a video critique, I'm always going to tell you something I love about your run, but I'm also going to give you one thing that I'd like you to work on, maybe sometimes more for those of you that have been in the group longer. But I'm mostly going to pick one thing at a time, because if you pick too many things, it becomes overwhelming. So my suggestion to you is pick one thing about your run you love, one thing about your run you want to improve on, and then apply that to your homework during the week through dry work drills or slow barrel work. And that will help you a lot. So that would be my answer for that. Have a good plan or schedule for your week. Know what days you're going to ride and what those rides are going to consist of. You don't need to be on your horse for an hour or 2 hours. 30 minutes every other day is plenty if you're competing on the weekend. You know, get three rides in during the week for 30 minutes. Even, you know, getting some groundwork in there is helpful too. So mix it up. Have a plan. Maybe one day is groundwork and trail. Maybe one day is dry work and drills. Maybe one day is slow barrels. And then the next ride is competition. And then you have a couple days off. So when you compete, though, keep it simple. Focus on your spots and your rider cues in the moment. So don't overthink it, right? Trust it. Visualize yourself making a good run. And then just focus on your spots and just try to be in the moment. It is important that you are relaxed and you breathe as you're waiting your turn for them to call your name, because smooth is always going to be fast. If you're nervous, you can't think straight, your horse senses it, and everything becomes stiff and rigid and your timing becomes off. So the three things you need is to, one, have a schedule for your homework that week. Two, focus on your spots and just be in the moment, visualizing a smooth, clean run before you go. Your horse can sense your positive, and they can sense where your specific focus is. Remember, our brain is always going to try to match our thoughts. So see positive things, see smooth runs, see you and your horse working together, petting your horse, everything going smoothly, happily, enjoying the moment. And then the third thing is, like I said, find one good thing about your run and then one thing you want to work on, and that will be your homework next week. So that's about our challenges for this month. I mentioned what our challenges were for skill, okay? But for mindset, it's just like last week's podcast. I talked about for the whole month of April, you're going to have a growth mindset. So some of you already do have a growth mindset. You're never like, it's never... quit, like, I'm going to sell the horses. This is just ridiculous. I can't do this anymore. It's never pass or fail. It's never winning or losing. It's more about winning and learning or learning and getting to the point where you're improving. So that's a growth mindset where you're always learning. And that's a lot what I'm going to talk about with the chapters of life and chapters of barrel racing. So the next question that came in was about stalls. When you're going to super shows, some of you are going to Jacksonville this weekend. Some of you've got Youth World coming up. So you're asking about stalls and keeping your horse comfortable. So we spend a lot of money to keep these horses healthy. We spend a lot of money on entry fees and diesel and hookups and stalls. So you definitely want to keep them healthy when you get there. You've spent money on beamers and MagnaWaves and chiropractors and veterinarians and dentists and farriers, all these things to make sure your horse is feeling good so that they can go out there and perform their best. So don't forget to take good care of them when they're stalled. If your horse is used to being turned out at home, putting them in a stall will be stressful for them. So prior to your event, it's a good idea to start stalling your horse at home a little more. Maybe some music, maybe some lights. Desensitize them to that a little bit, because stalling can be a little bit intense for horses if they're used to a peaceful farm and then you put them under lights and radios and people coming and going and lots of fans going and lots of activity. So start stalling them at home, maybe let them get used to a fan or music. But as far as the actual stall goes, most of these arenas, a lot of the barns have cement. So if you can get mats, you can buy the mats that you can get at Tractor Supply and stuff, but they're kind of heavy. There are newer mats out that you can buy that are lighter and they interlocked. You can get them from equine supply companies. You can get them at Lowe's, Home Depot, that people use to stand on. And then when you get those mats, put them down in the stall. But lightweight, comfortable ones are much easier to move around for you to haul than the big heavy ones that you might use at home or at a wash rack. So get the lightweight mats. Some arenas will rent them and provide them too, but you might want them and you can just throw them on the bottom of your horse trailer for the trip and put them in the stalls after you unload horses, whatever works for you. Buy the pine pelleted bedding and put down at least one bag of that on top of your mats. You can wet them a little bit so they kind of soften and puff up. And then two or three bags of shavings and your horse will have a pretty soft place. Try to keep most of it towards the middle so that they're, you know, that's where they'll stand most of the time, not on the edges of the stall so much. And then make sure you get them out and walk them a lot, or if they have turnout rentals, you know, that's important too. Have some salts and loose minerals in their stall for them because they may need the minerals for calming or for, you know, their stomach and the stress they're under, as well as salt with the extra stress of sweating and such. So definitely put that in their stalls for them too. I use Dynamite Free Choice salts and minerals. You know, get them used to a fan. Have that fan in there for some air circulating because barns can get very stagnant and hot. So that's important. And just make sure everything's safe. You can also have a sign on your door with your phone number for emergencies. Some horses don't like their door shut, so some people put porta panels across so the horse can put their head out in the alleyway and see more. Or they get stalls with stalls across from each other so the horse can see its herd mate and not side by side where they're stressed out. So those are all things to consider. Let's see here. So topic today is kind of like your purpose and your chapters of your life. So, you know, I truly believe, you know, like I said, I get a little sentimental with the holidays. I really believe that we're all here to learn, to love and to get along and to serve a purpose, not a selfish one, but one that maybe is for others. And when you're young, you know, you're still learning. So we can all kind of look at the world and be kind of bewildered by it, like the universe in itself, the solar system, you know, how the sun and the moon and the stars and the trees, the grass. I mean, it can all be super overwhelming. You know, the way the whole entire universe and planet and circle of life with humans and animals and all work. But, you know, when you have a belief, like a faith in God and all of that, or Jesus and all of that, it kind of gives you that faith and that clarity in what you believe in, you know, and these holidays of Christmas and Easter and all of that just kind of, you know, reaffirm that it's a whole world that can celebrate this, not just your small little group or your family. And that's why I really do feel like, for me, it is easy for me to say, okay, you know, God, what is my purpose, my passion? I really believe everyone has their gift, whatever that gift is. And, you know, and when you're a kid, you know, you go through life and you have good things and bad things happen and you have wonderful memories, but you also have some hard ones too. And those are probably things that are the path that you have to go through to become who you are, the things, the lessons you might have to learn. you know, everybody does have the ups and downs. And the same thing when you're young and you're in your 20s, you might be changing, you know, once you get through your teens and you're going to college and you're getting out in the real world, you might be changing where you want to go with your life or what you want with your life. You know, when I started my horse training in my early 20s, I had horses my whole life. I competed in barrels and poles as a kid and all of that. But when I became an adult and started finding my way, it was a lot of learning still going on. There was some teaching and some training and some competing, but there was still a whole lot of learning. And then when I got to my 30s, I was pretty confident and competing and pretty much at the top of my game and, you know, winning, my business going well, you know, my family going well, all of that stuff was going really good. Lots of good memories. And then 40s, same thing. So 25 years of competition and helping others goes by. But then I get to my 50s and life's changing. Son's grown up, off doing his own thing after college, you know, ex-husband now after 24 years or 26 years with the same person. My business is still my business, but I transferred it from training now, from training horses as my majority of my income to now coaching as majority of my income by increasing clinics and lessons and the virtual coaching. So, you know, pivoting my business for the next 25 years of my life, because that's another 25 years of training was not practical for my health that I'm, you know, at in my life and my age as well. So, you know, that's the thing now. My brain is more what I offer, what my experience, my knowledge. So everybody gets to that point in their chapters. My point is where you guys are in your life, you might be a parent now, you might be a teacher, you might be a nurse, you might be someone who helps people in those ways. You've got your experience now under your belt. You've got your, and some of you are still learning and still deciding and still helping, but also advancing. So your whole life you will learn, but there comes a point where, you know, you get 20, 30 years under your belt and you're pretty much got your purpose and passion, you know, sorted out for the most part. And I think that's where, you know, I love what I do and I love, you know, but it's like my son says, you know, he wants to do something 100% in the music business. But even if it's your dream job, you know, and then I want to say that it's not always easy. You still have to deal with, you know, people and circumstances and situations and expenses. And there's nothing that's super easy in life. Everything is a challenge and everything's going to have hard parts. So for the younger people listening, I just hope that you realize that that's just a big part of it. So for me, again, going back to keeping things simple, the keep it simple theory, simple, silly kind of deal. Think of it as simple things like pray, work hard, and believe. Those three things are really good things to live by, right? You know, if you pray, it gives you that peace that, you know, God's got this. If you work hard, it pays off. You know, just being consistent at something will pay off. You know, putting in the work daily, it pays off. Look at you as a horseman or a competitor and how far you've come in 1 year or 2 years or 5 or 10 years because you've put in the time. So just keep that in mind as you're going through things. And you know, just realize that, you know, it may not always be easy, but it's definitely worth it. And I hope that, I don't know if what I'm trying to say is helping people, but that is, you know, what I think about. I wrote a lot of stuff down. It was a lot more personal stuff, but I really don't feel like sharing that. But I look at the sections of my life, though, and I always see the good with the bad. And I see when I was most doing things my way, life was harder than when I was doing things the right way, you know, like God's way. And so if that can help anybody as well, when you want to gain confidence and see the value of your life and chase your goals and your dreams, I feel like the closer you stay with God, like God first, you know what they say, like God first, then your, you know, spouse or whatever, then your family, and, you know, da da da, your job. It kind of goes in that order. But sometimes we have to work a lot. Like most people, you say, hey, I never see my friends anymore. Or you check up with your friend. Hey, how's it going? I just been working a lot, you know, and that's pretty much life. We work a lot. And so that's why I think people go full throttle. You know, they work hard Monday through Friday, and then they play hard Saturday, Sunday, and then they're back at it Monday through Friday. So it's just a busy, busy life. So when you don't touch base with someone for a while, it's most likely because they're so busy. So I think that's something I've learned too with my 50s, is to simplify, you know, to pay off debt and to just enjoy a simpler life with my ranch and my animals and my business and my family when I get to see them, and my friends, and just going out and trying to, you know, do some fun things here or there around work and budget and all of that fun stuff, which everybody has, right? Everybody has their own work hours and their own budgets they have to live within. And so, yeah, it's one of those things where I really do hope this is something somebody needed to hear. But, you know, my people ask me all the time, do you miss competition? And, you know, I don't. It's so weird that something that I did, I couldn't imagine not barrel racing, so much so that when I got pregnant with Dalton, I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be a soccer mom, you know, and I want him to be able to fold into my rodeo world. And that's how addicted I was to competition. And, as time went by, he became a priority, and it was, you know, Dalton and then competition. It was, you know, Dalton, my business, and competition. And, you know, my husband traveled a lot, so I didn't see him, but on the weekends for the most part. But yeah, it was one of those things, where, you know, I feel like, now that desire to compete, you know, if you have a good horse, you have that desire too. If you're like, oh, this horse has potential. Like when I was training, Briscoe and Belle and Sister, I knew they had potential. And then, you know, Rocky's just a different story, his start in life, his size and all of that. So I just enjoy riding him now. I'm just thankful to be riding again after the hip surgery and all of that. But it's just not really in my eyesight right now. But maybe, who knows, God might change that in the next year or two. He might present me with an opportunity. Right now I'm going to finish Rocky, have fun with him, and enjoy it, whatever it is we do, not necessarily like with the 1D focus on my brain. You know, like I mentioned before, it takes a lot of money and time to get out there and do that. And many of you are 100% capable of doing it and out there doing it. And I'm super excited for you. And I love being a part of you out there, but I don't actually miss it. I really love coaching, and I really do enjoy watching you meet your goals and dreams and all of that. So anyhow, my advice to everybody is just to keep God first in your life. That gives you less drama and less mistakes, and enjoy life and all that it has to offer. And just count your blessings, you know, every morning when you wake up. And I just think that is the most important thing you can do. Is just be thankful and grateful for the little things, just being healthy. There's so many people out there with things that are hard they're dealing with, maybe a sick parent or a sick child or their own personal health issues. So, you know, I think we all have our own lane that we're in right now, and that's the lane we should focus on, not being envious of someone else's life or whatever. And if that's something that you crave, if that's something that you want, then go for it, you know, make it happen and say it out loud. I feel like if you pray on it, like, hey, God, I would really like to go WPRA. I would like the right horse to come along. I'd like to do the work and have things click with this horse I'm on so that we can start being competitive 1D and go pro rodeo. And, you know, and if that's what you want, that's what you need to say. There was a time when that was my words that I came out of my mouth. These are the things I wanted to do. You know, I wanted my business to grow. I wanted to make 1D horses and all of that. And, you know, you have a time and a place, like I said, for everything. So whatever it is that your heart desires, when we set our goals at the beginning of the year, I had everyone writing them down. Look at those goals now. Here we are, the first quarter of the year, April. People are paying their taxes, their first quarter. I just sent out IRS my taxes. But so this is a time of year you reassess. How's your business going, right? That's what business people do. Well, take a look at your personal life, your barrel racing life. Is it where you wanted it to be from January to April? And if it's not, what changes can I make to go for that dream that I have or that? And sometimes bad stuff just happens. Lame horses, sick people, you know, finances come up. So plans get jacked up, but that's okay. Does it mean you need to quit? No, that's that growth mindset. You go ahead and you just put a pause on it, do what you can, and see if maybe it'll happen in the next quarter or maybe by the end of the year. But you just keep plugging away. You know, time goes by so fast. Like, I can't believe it's April already. You know, this is my busy, busy time of year with clinics and lessons because the weather's nice. Things will slow down in the summer, but it'll get, you know, and I'll get more one-on-one with Rocky and things like that. But right now it's just busy, busy, busy. And I love that. I think it's great, but that's just how life is though, right? Those of you that live in the snowy states, this was your slow time. Now you're coming into your good weather. So you're going to start getting real busy with competition and doing things. So anyways, I just want everyone to take a moment. You know, it's Easter. Reevaluate what your plans were at New Year's to now where we are at Easter. Pray on it. Believe in yourself and go out there and just chase those goals and dreams. So thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. And don't forget to listen to the audio book. I'll do chapter 8 this Friday. I do have a clinic in Palatka this weekend and group lessons tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and work on the videos right now. So anyhow, everybody have a wonderful week. And remember, be positive and believe in yourself. And just keep it simple, silly. Visualize a smooth run with you and your horse and keep that relationship strong with you guys. So as always, ride with heart and God bless.